The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." Now John wore clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then the people of Jerusalem and all Judea were going out to him and all the region along the Jordan, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." The Gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Holy Trinity, one God. Amen. I wonder if you've ever gone out to Great Falls Park early on Easter morning to participate in one of our Great Falls traditions, the ecumenical sunrise service. It's out there by the river with the sound of the fall early on a spring morning. It can be very beautiful. It can also be very cold. And people come well wrapped up. They bring their dogs, sometimes they bring their horses. It's very informal, and there are musicians, and the Boy Scouts hand out the programs. And you can imagine being there on a beautiful early morning, and you get there early enough to get a front row seat. You've got your lawn chair with you, and you've set it up, and you wrap yourself up in blankets, and you're right up front, so you get a good view of everything that's going on. And here comes the preacher that one of the churches has brought in from out of town to give the Easter homily. He's wrapped up in a warm camel coat, belted at the waist, and he looks around the crowd, and then he looks right at you, and he says, "You miserable, slimy, toxic bunch of hypocrites. Just look at yourselves. Who do you think you are? In your lawn chair with your down jacket. You think you're okay with God just because of your middle-class Protestant credentials? You are in for a shock. God doesn't need you to build the kingdom. You'd better shape up and turn your life around before you end up in the furnace." How do you think you'd feel after that Easter homily? Perhaps small, perhaps unworthy, perhaps pretty ticked off. I have a feeling that you wouldn't come back to St. Francis and ask me to bring that preacher here. And I don't think he'd last very long as a parish priest, not in the Episcopal Church anyway. It seems that John the Baptist is in need of a bit of a makeover for our day and age, at least his style. Because the substance of what he has to say, the core of his message, is still something that we need to hear. And we especially need to hear it in this season of Advent, when we're in danger of drowning in sentimentality and self-indulgence. John says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." Now, repentance is a word that comes from archery, refers to where you point the arrow. And it means to change your aim, to straighten up, to readjust. to turn around even when you're really off target. In a spiritual sense, refocus, reorder your priorities, turn your life around. God invites us through the words of John to make some changes, to examine how we spend our time and to examine our assumptions, to examine all of our attitudes. I think sometimes that the most pervasive spiritual issue that we face here in the DC area in the first decade of the 21st century is our conviction that we have everything under control. That we can take care of ourselves, that the world is ours to run as we see fit. It's an illusion, of course. Our lives are fragile. A car accident on Georgetown Pike, an electrical malfunction, a weather event, or an unsuspected congenital abnormality can change everything in the twinkling of an eye. We've already gone through some painful change around here that should have taught us something about how out of control things can be in the misadventures of the financial markets in the last couple of years have shaken our self-confidence, have changed some people's lives. Many of us have suffered and continue to suffer the consequences of addiction, either in ourselves or in someone we love. The 12-step programs to recovery remind us constantly that we are all in the hands of a higher power, that we're not in control of anything. So John's message of repentance speaks to us. It reminds us of who is really in charge and invites us to make profound changes in our lives. Now, this kind of change is hard. I said profound. It's radical. It's from the roots. We're asked to exercise spiritual muscles that maybe we don't even know we have. We're asked to change our whole nature, to put ourselves in the hands of a God who will transform us utterly. John points towards himself. Many statues of John the Baptist show him pointing, because he's pointing beyond himself to the one who is coming into the world to make all things new, the one who offers a new heaven and a new earth, a new way of being human. Isaiah's vision of the peaceable kingdom, and we have Edward Hicks's many wonderful paintings on the cover of the bulletin, that vision of the peaceable kingdom gives us a glimpse of just how different and how difficult the change to God's peace can be. Just imagine for a moment how hard it will be for that wolf to lie down beside the lamb. Bucking its wolfish nature, it's still salivating, but it's got to stop thinking of the lamb as dinner. And think of the lamb, whose whole being yearns to run and hide from the predator. The lamb has to stop thinking of itself as a victim and has to make friends with the wolf. God's peace is not simple and it's not easy. It requires that we turn around, that we repent, that we change our aim. God's peace will be peace both for those we love and for those we hate. We will have to give up some of our most cherished myths, as the lamb gives up the image of the wolf as killer. Our sentimental vision of the baby in the manger will need to change too, as we struggle to imagine a world where that baby, God incarnate, is truly in charge, where the needs of all will take precedence over the wants of a few. 2,000 years after the first advent of Christ, the kingdom of God is still coming, is still drawing near, is still taking shape. And we see many signs of God today creating that new heaven and that new earth. All around us, all around in the world, we see it in the actions of faithful and courageous Christians. Think of our friends in Sudan as they prepare for a referendum that may drag their country back into civil war. They still celebrate. They still rejoice in God's goodness. Think of the Christians in Iraq whose churches are attacked, or our friends in Palestine and in the Holy Land who were here last week, speaking of how many people have given up trying to be Christian in Christ's birthplace. But there are still a few who continue on to witness to the presence of Christ in that place. Dedicated individuals and institutions right here in Virginia and in the DC area feed the hungry, clothe the naked, house the poor. All of these are signs that the kingdom of heaven is drawing near. And these are activities that we too can participate in. John points us towards that kingdom vision. John's message, as uncomfortably as it is couched, is good news. It's gospel news. It's news that is filled with peace and hope. And in this Advent season, we pray for the grace to hear that message and to embrace the good news. To use Paul's words from the epistle, may the God of hope fill us with all joy and peace in believing through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.